morning. Welcome to Vuvuzela, the World Soccer Show. This is Eric Nash, and we are here in the beautiful studios of WNJC 1360 with my main, sharply attired main man, Bob Long, in his Philadelphia Union Bimbo shirt. How are you today, my man?
I'm doing great, Eric. How about yourself?
I'm doing very, very, very well. And the question I have for you, first of all, is... Where'd you get that shirt? I love it.
It's a great shirt, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is a very nice Christmas gift, and sporting my Union attire here. So we're getting ready for a big season. It's in the midst of the English Premier League season, but these Union fans always have an eye on the season, which is coming up very soon. Some of the players getting called up to the under-23 team, Zach Pfeffer up to the U.S. under-18 team. So Union fans certainly have a reason to be excited in the middle of January here, so it's a great time.
And interestingly enough, I don't know if it was official yet, Bobby, but they did the schedule came out, and it's an interesting schedule because unlike the last year, because of the addition of Vancouver into the league, it's an unbalanced schedule. Now, what that means for us, that makes it very exciting, and I've already been fighting with my DC United and New York Red Bull friends slash frenemies, I guess you would call them. You know, and we have two games here against New York Red Bulls, the last game of the year, as it was last year, except this time it's a PPL, and we have a game in May and another game up in New York, so we have three against them and three against DC. You know, which is nice. It's helping with the geographic rivalries, in my opinion. And, you know, unfortunately, we have our opener against Portland. I know Cesar Diaz is on the show many times. He's a big Portland Timber fan. And, in fact, he's starting the New York Timbers fan club. But, you know, unfortunately for him, I said, yo, Cesar, I'll take you to the game in the Sons of Ben section. Couldn't do that, though, because they only play the Timber opening up in May, and that's it, at Portland.
Right.
So, you know, unfortunately, you don't get to see the teams. What do you think of that? I mean, it's kind of like an NBA schedule in a way.
Right. It brings in that baseball element as well. When you have maybe 18 games a season against one of your rivals, the Mets play the Phillies 18 times a season. And so I like that, honestly. I think the fans want to see the Red Bulls. They want to see teams like New York come to Philadelphia, and they want to take that trip up to New York. The Union fans did a great job going up to New York last year in one of the last games of the season. I honestly think they want to see the Red Bulls in extra time as opposed to maybe the Colorado Rapids a second or third time.
I think there's no doubt about that. I believe our home game with the Red Bulls was early in the season last year, and I feel like people were sorry that it was already over, or the pink cows as they call them. Okay, so anyway, yeah, I think it's a good thing. I mean, I'm sure if you're a fan like Cesar is of Portland, you're going to be sorry that game's going to be over with. Of course, he's not. You know, he's a New York guy, so he's not a Philly guy. So I don't know. And they probably play him once too, I would think, being in our conference.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know,
absolutely.
I don't know if the schedule still. There's a lot of things. Is there a caller on? Who do we have?
Caller, you're on.
I don't.
This is Derek Ritchie.
Oh, Derek Ritchie.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, Derek? Can you hear me okay?
Well, you sound like you're in another room, but that's all right.
I am in another room. You're like in the Midwest, and I'm here in New Jersey today, right? So it's a big room.
True enough.
I can hear you fine. In fact, I don't even have headphones, so I like this. I like this new station. I can hear you really well. Bob's wearing headphones, but he's just an old-fashioned 19-year-old guy, you know? So that's what we have to do. So, Derek, anyway, Derek Rich from the Straight Red Card, I want to introduce you to the show. This is our first appearance in New Jersey. You know, we've been in New York, but it's our first time in New Jersey. And what a beautiful studio. It's my kind of place, Derek. Wall to wall, nothing but sports memorabilia, okay? It looks like my basement, and I really dig it here. It's a great place, and the people here are so nice. So anyway, Derek, tell us a little bit about what you do, and then tell me about your drawings, by the way, which I see all over the internet and very intrigued by.
Well, I host co-host the Straight Red Card with Brett Corbett, and we've been doing that now for about almost 2.5 years. The show is sort of the official vidcast of big soccer, and it keeps us pretty busy, and we've got to interview a lot of great folks over the last couple years, some of the ones you've had on your show as well. Some great players, too, like Jeff Agus and John O'Brien. So it's been a thrill meeting them after watching them play in my childhood. And as far as the paintings go, it's just a little hobby on the side that I do. I've always enjoyed painting, and now trying to put together some paintings that at least somewhat reflect what the players on the U.S. national team look like. I'm not sure they're all that very good.
Derek, I really have to disagree with you. I think you're just being modest. I think they're really cool. I mean, I all of a sudden I'm looking, I'm like, oh, he did a couple of them as a gag, you know, and, you know, all of a sudden, how many do you have, about 50 at this point?
I originally started out because on the vidcast, we're not really, you know, we have to be really careful about what photographs we use for the vidcast. And it just got to the point where we were sick of making sure that every picture passed its, you know, muster. And so I started actually just drawing and painting the guys that seemed to come up on the show, you know, day after day and week after week. And then, as you said, it started off a little rough, and then I just got a little better at it as I went along.
Well, I mean, they're really nice, and how can people get them or look at them? Because I think really, I don't know how sales are going. They should be going well. Maybe you could tell us how we can, you know, look through the catalog of drawings or paintings. Are they actually paintings? They're really T-shirts, aren't they?
Right. Yeah, they are actually paintings. I mean, they're kind of digitally enhanced, but if people want to, I mean, I guess we've got every single United States national team player up at this point, or almost. And then we've got some classics as well, like Garrett Mueller and some of the old-time players as well. And you can find them just by going to Zazzle.com. They're up there. Just look up the Straight Red card, and they should come up. Or just look up your favorite player, and it should pop up as well.
And that's, I mean, I know, and usually when I talk to you, you have been, and I appreciate, our go-to guy for all that is American soccer, you know, with a more like an American type of flavor with the national team and, you know, the smaller leagues and the American-born players. And there's been a lot of news this week, and you've actually turned me on to some of the other stuff, but there's been a lot of news regarding the U.S. national team, and it seems like much of it, at least recently, has been focused on Mr. Zimmermann, the third division German player, and his problem with the non-American players that Klinsmann seems to be signing up. Can you elaborate on what that situation is right now?
Well, the situation right now is that Preston Zimmermann isn't saying much, but for quite a while, for about an hour-long period last week, he caused a real stink amongst not only a lot of current American players, but, you know, also amongst American fans, because he said that the U.S. national team is made up of a bunch of fake Americans, as he called it. We can only assume, because he doesn't name anybody by name, but he does mention the fact that a lot of the kids don't speak English. They mostly speak German. You can only assume that he means Jermaine Jones, Fabian Johnson, Danny Williams, and Timothy Chandler, just for start. And like I said, it just caused a real commotion online. Everybody was talking about it, it seemed like, last week. It was on every major soccer site you could possibly imagine. And I guess what it really comes down to is that Preston Zimmermann just didn't know what he was talking about.
Okay, so, I mean, Bob and I were talking about this earlier today, and he's of the opinion. Well, Bob, what's your opinion on the situation? I'll let you give your own opinion.
As a, I guess, as a U.S. fan who would love to see the team do better in the World Cup, if we're just going straight by that mindset, I don't have much of a problem with not necessarily bending the rules, even though that might be exactly what's going on, but just finding a way to put the team on the field that's best suited to win within those boundaries and guidelines, no matter how that gets there. That's just my opinion. And if Timmy Chandler's the best guy for that right back spot, then I think you need to put him in there if it's within the guidelines.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to agree. And I think what we can all keep in mind is, first of all, just listen to the names. Jermaine Jones, Fabian Johnson, Danny Williams, Timothy Chandler, those aren't extremely very German-sounding names, and there's a reason for that. All of their fathers were American servicemen and served overseas, and it's really none of their fault that, you know, not a lot of them, except for Jermaine Jones, spent that much time in the United States until very recently. I think we got to, as you said, we have to take everybody that fits those requirements, and let's keep in mind the requirements are these days a lot more difficult than, say, the 1950s when Joe Gachens actually wasn't even a United States citizen and played for the U.S. in the 1950 World Cup. And later on, in 1953, went on to go and play for Haiti. So, and we consider him a real true blue American, at least a lot of people do. And if you go down the list of Americans that have played for the United States since just 1994 in World Cups, you're talking about guys like Thomas Dooley, Ernie Stewart, Roy Wegerle. I mean, you're talking about some big names like Precky as well. All guys, in many ways, especially Dooley and Precky, who went on and had prolific, at least, contributions to the U.S. national team. In fact, Thomas Dooley is an assistant coach right now, and the youth programs as they were developed here in the United States.
And, Derek, I'd also add, if the U.S. isn't stretching these guidelines out and taking everybody in those guidelines, I think somebody else is going to do it to the United States. Maybe take a player that's pretty good or one of the U.S.'s best players and poach them up on some hidden guideline as well. I mean, would you agree? You just need to take everybody you can, because if you're not doing it, somebody else is doing it to you.
I mean, you could argue in many ways that Giuseppe Rossi, I mean, this is an old argument, of course, as American, as apple pie, because he really didn't spend a whole lot of time in Italy until he was after the age of 12 or 13. I mean, he went to school in the United States. His teachers were American. All his coaches outside of his dad were American. And his dad and his mother are both American citizens as well. They're both teachers. I don't know how much more American you can get than that, of course, but Rossi, right or wrong, or it's not really for us to judge, made a tough decision early on that he was going to play for the Italian national team, and we're just going to have to eat it. Now, as far as, you know, the Germans go, there's a lot of people who are claiming, in fact, the national team coach for the English national team has recently been out blabbering how the German team isn't even made up of a lot of Germans. So, you know, there's a lot of complaining going on, but of course, just as Zimmerman was wrong, so is the national team coach for the English national team.
Derek, you're listening to Vuvuzela, the World Soccer Show, at 1360 WNJC. Give us a call, 856-227-1360 or 856-232-7077. We are talking to Derek Ritchie from the Straight Red Card. So, Derek, with regard to Mr. Zimmerman, just to put that this discussion to an end, what is his beef? I don't understand. It seems to me like he's not a qualified player to be in the American side anyway. So what is his issue?
Well, for him, he, and I'm just going to quote him here, mm-hmm. he said he would like to see real, true Americans who would live and die for this country, representing our country. And again, that's kind of his definition. But he goes on and said that the requirements to get on the U.S. national team under Klinsmann were to, number one, be a fake American, number two, be born outside the United States, number three, have one distant relative. Again, none of those particular you know, qualifications, really, they don't fit Jermaine Jones, they don't fit Fabian Johnson, they don't fit Danny. I mean, all those guys are, you know, the son of actual guys who did live and die for this country and served in the United States military. And I think even wackier is that you don't even have to be a United States citizen to serve in the United States military and live and die for this country. As you know, there are plenty of immigrant Americans who are actually going to earn their citizenship by serving in the United States military. So I'm not sure his requirements make any sense in the first place. And sometimes guys like Preston Zimmerman just need to know when it's time to shut the trap. And I don't really know if tweeting all this was the actual appropriate way to deal with it in the first place.
Well, if it came from you, Derek, I'm going to take it as gospel. And for Mr. Zimmerman and the people that think like he does, we'll just let him. We'll give him a pretty an ugly vuvuzela blast. How'd that come through, okay? Anyway, and that's a vuvuzela. Okay, there you go. So anyway, Derek, moving on. Let's talk about this camp. Now, there seems to be some issue with regard to the camp that's being held right now by Klinsmann. What's that all about?
Well, you know, and that's the thing. You can look over both the U-23 camp and the current Camp Cupcake, as we call it, okay, on our show, because that's really what it is. I mean, this is not obviously the best United States national team we could possibly put together. It's made up of a lot of guys whose careers are, as a national team player, probably coming close to an end, like Chris Modolowski. There are other guys on that team as well, Benny Philhaber, who we're not sure we're going to see a whole lot of those guys in the future, but they're on this team to give it sort of a backbone. There really isn't. There are no fake, if you will, fake Americans on the U.S. national men's team recent call-up, Camp Cupcake at least. They're all made up of basically MLS players. The U-23 team that Preston Zimmerman sort of complained about is made up of a few players that you might have some complaints about. Certainly a Disc Groot wouldn't fit Zimmerman's requirements for being a real American. John George wouldn't either, and either would forward Andre Wooten. But you know what? Altogether, that's three players out of a whole lineup. Again, that's not enough to complain about, and those that are complaining probably just don't really get it, because this has been going on for well over 15, 16 years now.
Okay, good enough. Now, I'm going to move forward now to a fellow whose career I follow closely, because to be honest with you, it's like our lives have mirrored each other so much that it's like looking in the mirror, and that would be David Beckham, who's now with the Galaxy, and from what I understand is still staying with the Galaxy. So, you know, since we have so much alike and we look so much alike and our lives are the same, I'm telling you, this is true, man. We both have faces for radio, and
true.
What do you think about this? First of all, is it official that he's staying with the Galaxy at this point?
It's about as official, as official as it's going to get at this point. He turned down an offer from PSG, which would have doubled what he makes at the LA Galaxy. And just kind of the rumors going around, and from what I've heard talking to other people who actually know David a little, you know, he made the decision to stay for several reasons, and I think the biggest one, when you look at them all, is his family. And, you know, he has kids that are at that age. It's really, it would have been a tough move for them if he was going to take his whole family. He has kids that are in the Los Angeles Galaxy Academy. They seem pretty settled in and have enjoyed their last number of years in L.A. and are in the L.A. area. He loves the weather. And you know what? He's 37 years old. How much can he contribute to PSG? Maybe a year, maybe two if he's lucky. It just didn't, in the end, it just wasn't worth it for him.
I mean, Derek, when you took, and I hear what you're saying, but when you look at Paris Saint-Germain, first of all, what's the deal with them trying to buy all these players all of a sudden? And, you know, wouldn't Paris be an exciting place? I mean, the man, in theory, conquers London, conquers Los Angeles. Wouldn't Paris be kind of a natural progression of that?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're his wife, it might seem like a natural progression, right? Because, you know, she's into fashion and all that. But, you know, she's still trying to make and get something done here in the States. As far as Paris Saint-Germain, you know how that goes. Occasionally, you know, a team decides either through new ownership or whatever, that they are going to spend a whole lot of dough. And Paris Saint-Germain is just one of those. First, you know, they're really one of the bigger teams or biggest teams in France that's really done very, very little. You know, they've accomplished they've won very few things. And so this was their big time. Go out and get a big-name coach. Go out and get some big-name players. And maybe even try to replicate on a small scale what Manchester City has done in the last couple of years, and what Chelsea did a number of years ago.
And in the same vein, so I guess that's a good thing. Well, I would think that would be a very good thing for the MLS. All kidding aside, that Beckham is staying, and that he's, you know, don't you think that's going to lead to other star players, maybe, you know, a little slightly on the back end of their career to look at coming to America?
Oh gosh, I mean there are so many players out there, and MLS is getting better and better at this, obviously, but. There are just a lot of players out there who are maybe coming to the end of their career. And in the past, you know, MLS really wasn't, they weren't a big candidate to get those players. Those players played their last number of years, a lot of them, in the Middle Eastern leagues, in the Qatari League, in the Saudi Arabian League, etc., where they could get the big bucks and just quietly fade away. Now, it's really up to the MLS teams to decide when a player, let's say like Alhaji Diouf, decides that yes, he's willing and open to come to the MLS, if he's really the right guy. I mean, is that the guy you want? The guy that spits on everybody? The guy that has an attitude problem? And those are things you have to consider. Is this guy just coming here to you know, fade away, or is this a guy who's going to really contribute? And I think MLS is doing a better and better job, better certainly other smaller leagues, in deciding who's actually going to come here and contribute, and who's just coming here to fade away. And we don't want the fade away guy.
So we're happy with David Beckham continuing to be the quote unquote face.
Yeah, I think you have to be happy with David Beckham. Obviously, when this all started, it was a rough going. He was injured all the time. He spent a lot of time in Italy, and we were thinking, well, you know, what's this guy? He's not really invested in this. But the last couple of years, I think Beckham's really been invested, and I think he's really, despite what my friend Dan Loney says on Big Soccer and writes, he's really been the best player on LA Galaxy. I mean, and really, if you're a fan watching a guy who can, land the ball on a dime, somebody's forehead. You know, you just don't see that kind of skill on a regular basis game after game after game in the MLS. I mean, there are some guys that can do stuff like that, but not at the same consistency level. I mean, Brad Davis is a great player and a great crosser, but he's no David Beckham.
So for David Beckham, my brother from another mother, we'll give him this. Can you hear that? Thank you, David, for staying. Now let's move on to a little bit of something that bothers me, and that would be with the MLS and really with worldwide soccer, would be the transfers, these loans, I should say, not the transfers, these 6-week loans. Thierry Henry, okay, subpar performer in my opinion, although big name with the New York Red Bulls.
Scored a lot of goals.
Yeah. But he's always scored a lot of goals. In fact, upwards of almost 200 for our Arsenal, I believe.
Now, scoring a lot of goals is always a good thing.
Yeah, I understand that. And I'm not even really talking too much about his prowess or skill. What I'm talking about, and I'm not saying this as a Tottenham fan either, that he's going to, it looks like, go to Arsenal. Arsene Wenger, I love the guy, okay. Love how he just tries to buy all the wrong pieces to keep his trophy cabinet empty, okay. But I guess my problem is, why should Thierry Henry be able to go to Arsenal? Training, I understand, but play for 6 weeks in very meaningful Premier League games with a team that's on the cusp of European play for next year and involved in European play for this year. I don't understand how that works. Maybe you can explain to me, because the soccer world is a little odd when it comes to that, you know? Those type
of
rumors.
Yeah. I mean, I think it certainly doesn't necessarily hurt the MLS players when they come back, unless they're injured, obviously, so they're taking a chance there, or they haven't had a break for 2 years, like was Donovan's case the first time he went to Everton. You know, he's been playing, he played nonstop soccer, went from MLS to Bayern Munich, back to MLS, then on to Everton, and then to the World Cup. The guy's legs must have been falling off after that stint. So in that way, if you continuously do it, yeah, you're going to burn that player out. I'm not sure how this, unless you're an extremely desperate team, how this, a two-month stint really, or less than 2 months, really benefits Arsenal or really benefits Everton in the long run. It just seems like You're taking playing time away from another player who could be developing, could be getting better at the position. And it's just, they're there and then they're gone. So as far as it affecting MLS, it doesn't bother me at all, except for when a guy like Omar Gonzalez, I'm sure, I don't know if you've heard about this or not, went over to Nuremberg on loan for one of those two-month loans and collided with Timothy Chandler, ironically in practice, and tore his ACL. And so he could be out anywhere from 2 months to 6 months. You know, it's hard to say. And in that case, you know, LA Galaxy are kind of screwed at the beginning of the season for the first, you know, number of games.
Omar Gonzalez, Derek, him being of probably one of the best backliners in the MLS, isn't that right?
He is kind of the foundation of that back four for the LA Galaxy. There's no doubt about it. And he was well on his way. I mean, a lot of people criticized him for leaving Camp Cupcake, the most recent United States national call-up, to go play on loan for Nuremberg. But from all we know, Klinsmann actually said, he called Klinsmann about it, and Klinsmann said, go. No, you don't need to play Camp Cupcake. You go on loan to Germany. It's going to be a tough blow for LA if this turns out to be something long-term.
All right, Derek, Bob, you have something?
Derek, going to ask one more question about all these call-ups up to actually the under-23 and the under-18 team. You're seeing a lot of Philadelphia Union guys moving up. Obviously, this was the youngest team in the MLS this season. Does that say anything about what Union fans can be excited about for next season?
I think it is a good indicator. You know, I mean, when you look down the list, a lot of the youth teams right now, you do see a lot of Red Bulls, a lot of Philly guys. As usual, you see a lot of FC Dallas guys. And I think it is an indicator that, and it's also a reason why a team like, let's say, FC Dallas can say, go ahead, we're willing to sell some of our players, like John George. We're willing to sell Shea because, they just signed, I think, four or five of their academy players. What that means is they have an excellent academy, whereas let's compare it to, say, the Houston Dynamo. I mean, they really don't want to let go of any of their players. They would probably fight tooth and nail before they sell a guy like Jeff Cameron because they don't have an academy program of that quality. So you're right. If you're seeing a lot of young Philly guys popping up on the U18 and the U23 teams, it is a good sign, and it's a sign that I actually think eventually all of the MLS teams are all going to have to get to that point where their academies can fill in the blanks when one of their big guys wants to go overseas. And we got to quit these silly five-year contracts on players in the MLS. That's just too long, and players shouldn't have to commit themselves to something that extremely long. It's kind of ridiculous.
I give a big boo and a whistle, a straight red card, so to speak, using your vernacular, to the short-term loans, to anybody going to Arsenal and helping them make it to Europe, okay? Moving forward, New York Cosmos. My understanding from talking to you, Derek, is you feel that Commissioner Garber has thrown the Mo's bone. Why do you say that? The Smo's.
Yeah, he did kind of throw him a bone recently. Yeah. In a number of, well, this one interview in particular, where he did mention that he thinks that the weight of all the things the Cosmos have done kind of build momentum has really kind of, he's caught the fever in many ways, and he understands the fever, and he says, you know, if it wasn't for the stadium problem, if they could work that out, he really thinks that, you know, the whole Cosmos thing might just work out. He likes the new ownership, which is a big positive, and he made a point of pointing out that the new ownership is more interested in making sure the Cosmos become an MLS team and less interested in holding, exhibitions and selling T-shirts. So that kind of gives you an idea of what he thought of the prior ownership. Not much, but the new ownership seems to be focused on the right things, in his opinion, And he even mentioned that some major sponsors, and I put quotations around that because I don't know which major sponsors of MLS he's talking about, have actually inquired when it is that the New York Cosmos are going to become an MLS team. So it seems like he's getting a little outside pressure on that as well. But we'll see. It doesn't seem like MLS, Don Garber, the Don, is in any rush at all to add a new team anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like, you know, obviously I thought there'd be an announcement by now. We've had this before. We have a lot of the guys and the people from the Cosmos, their older ownership regime, and now the new one that seems to be moving in the right direction. It does seem like a no-brainer. And I know, Derek, that you're going to say, you know, there should be a team in St. Louis or another team in the Midwest, or Florida. I mean, a lot of people say that, but, you know, I don't think it's an either-or. I think that will happen in time. But can you really tell me how not using the Cosmos brand and the world notoriety and cachet that comes with could possibly be a good financial decision for the MLS? Because I don't see it.
Yeah. I think that the Cosmos brand is just one that's never gone away. I mean, I was a kid. I grew up in Europe for a while and then, of course, moved to New York. But even while I was in Germany, everybody knew who, you know, obviously because Franz Beckenbauer played on the Cosmos, everybody knew who the Cosmos were. And it didn't matter where you were in Europe. I mean, people knew who the Cosmos were. They were known as kind of the super team with all the super players. And then, of course, I lived in New York, and that brand was still huge. Unfortunately, by, you know, 1985 and 86, those things were all fading away and gone. But it's still an international brand that everybody knows and not everybody loves, but it's something you certainly, if you're MLS, you probably should have bought it in 1996, as I think even Garber admitted that that would have been a good idea. It just didn't seem like the thing to do at the time.
So
and of course, they were trying to get away from some of the old NASL demons, if you will. They wanted to do their own thing, and they didn't want to kind of relive the past for obvious reasons.
Yeah, and I agree with that, and I think you're right. There were certainly demons involved, but, you know, we're at a point now where the league is very well established, certainly on the upswing, and you've got teams like the Portland Timber and the San Jose Earthquakes who have used and embraced and never really lost the identity as the teams with the same names as the NASL teams. And this would just be a natural progression. I mean, you're talking about a league that has BIMBO plastered on the front of a uniform because it's a bakery in Mexico, and that's cool, right? No doubt. But you're trying to tell me that for money, they're just going to throw the Cosmos logo and name out with the bathwater? It's ridiculous. They like making money. They're, you know, they make a lot of decisions in that vein, and this is a no-brainer. I don't know who they're trying to kid. It's kind of like a muscle flexing exercise with the league, you know? That's what I see it as anyway.
No, I agree with you. I think you're right on. If it's going to make MLS money, then they're going to do it. And I think Garber said so much in his recent interview. It just doesn't, and that's why the sponsors are knocking on his door saying, hey, you know, when is this team going to be in the MLS? Because they know, we all know, it's going to be a moneymaker eventually. Now, will it be the all-star team we all remembered? No, it won't be right away because of the cap rules. So we're just going to have to live with a, you know, a New York Cosmos that looks probably a lot like maybe what the Red Bulls look like right now. And that's fine, and I think a lot of people will be willing to live with that until, you know, more DPs are allowed and the cap increases, which it will eventually.
When I see players, Derek, and of course I agree with you also, when I see players running around in the uniform and the numbers of Pelé and Carlos Alberto and Franz Beckenbauer in those old Cosmos style uniforms, that's going to warm the cockles of my heart. And I just hope it happens sooner rather than later. I know I'm an old timer at this point, and I'm starting to, you know, think like an old guy, you know, but I like that. I like the feel of that, you know, and I think it will get there because it seems to be like a win-win situation. Now let's talk a little bit about, you know, something that's a little bit more substantive in the world of the MLS, and that is the new scheduling system that came out. Now, we knew what was happening with the change in the schedule and with the addition of Vancouver and the playoffs as well. But, you know, we finally have a roster here, and I don't know. What do you think of it? I mean, it's an unbalanced schedule. Pros and cons with that?
Well, you know, I'm like you in a lot of ways. I'm kind of an old school guy, and I like the balanced schedule. I understand it did not make a lot of financial sense, and Garber has made a point for, you know, a long time now saying, hey, what we're looking for is to build smaller divisions that'll develop these long-term rivalries, and that's all fine. But when I look at, let's just use the NFL as an example, and you see some of these division leaders in the Seattle made Seahawks made the playoffs, not this season, but the last season, and they had like a 7-9 record, if I can remember, and they were actually home. Because they were a division winner, they actually got home field advantage in the playoffs. I just don't want to see anything like that happen in MLS, but there's a chance it might. Like you said, I'm much more of a balanced schedule guy. I like the straight-up table. I'm a little old school that way. You know, hell, I'd even like to see promotion and relegation someday, just because I am an old school guy. But, you know, it's an old argument. It's been going on for a long, long, long time. But I have to say, I'm on your team with the balanced schedule, I think. I like that.
Although I'll tell you what, it doesn't bother me that we play the Union play the Red Bulls three times, you know, twice at home, you know, and DC twice. I mean, that's three times. I'm sorry, you know, that's not a bad thing. I don't think.
No, I mean, if you really like rivalries and developing these fierce rivalries, I mean, this is the schedule for you. I mean, you're going to get to play your most hated foe, you know, more than you would otherwise, you know, and I think. If you're a fan in that regard and you want to play the Red Bulls because you hate them, or you want to play whatever neighbors next door if you're out in the Northwest, you know, if you're a Cascadia fan, then you're going to want to watch a lot of the sort of Cascadian clashes. And this system will allow that to happen.
Well, you know, you're listening to WNJC 1360 Vuvuzela, the World's Sports Show. We're with Derek Ritchie from the Straight Red Card. Derek, I want to thank you so much for being here. We got maybe five more minutes, but what I want to add, first of all, I want to say hello and thank your dear little canine friend D Rex for the wonderful Christmas card you sent through the internet of one particular goalie on the U.S. Women's National Team. Very nice picture. God, I thought no one's going to get that joke. I was getting a little nervous. Okay. Yeah, that was very nice. I liked especially the angle. But, you know, dogs can get very good angles, but it was a very nice picture. And give him my best because he's been a guest several times on the show. I don't know if you're aware, but he's wonderful and we miss him. And hopefully he'll be around soon. I know his schedule's busy these days.
No, he bragged about it all the time. So yeah, no, he's let us know he's been on your show at least a couple times, and he's rubbed it in. Made sure that both Brett and I knew that we weren't invited, and he was.
Well, you're always, as you all know, you're all invited. In fact, one day it might be really interesting to get the two of you guys in together, you know, man and his best friend, but, you know, we'll try to work on that. So anyway,
we are rarely seen in the same room together there, Eric. Yes. I mean, it's hard to catch us.
Well, you know, we keep trying and hoping, of course, you know. So we turned the corner. It's a new year. Last week, we had a thing about soccer resolutions for New Year's. You know, what wish or hope or change would you like to make in world soccer? And I'm going to ask you, do you have any resolutions or anything that you'd like to see happen for the betterment of the beautiful game, which we're all for, of course?
Well, you know, if I had a few wishes, I'll start with my biggest one. I'd like to see a lot of changes at FIFA, that's for sure. I'd like to see maybe Sepp Blatter take a back step. I'd like to see a lot of things cleaned up there. I'd like to see, I'd like it to be revealed and like it to be open. And I'd like to know why exactly and how Qatar got the 2020 World Cup. I think we all should get to figure out who voted for it and how much they got paid, and I think that would be something I'd really like to see. You know, there are some other wishes I have in mind, and maybe one of them is that the Cosmos eventually become an MLS team. That would be nice as well. those are the two that certainly hit me immediately. But more than anything, I would like Timothy Chandler to stay very healthy at left back for the United States national team, so we don't have to experience any more, let's say, Jonathan Bornstein type, experimentation.
So, and they're all very nice. I think we can echo many of those thoughts. I just try to avoid the whole FIFA bladder. Did you have a chance to listen to the interview they did on Fox around Christmas? I think it was New Year's, maybe Christmas time, with Blatter. Did you have a chance to listen to that? Because I didn't. I'm wondering if there was anything interesting about it.
I didn't catch that. I'm sorry.
No, remember, Blatter did an interview with Fox, about a week ago, maybe, and I didn't catch it. I wondered if you did, and if there was anything interesting that came out of it.
You know, I used to watch a lot of interviews with Blabber. That's what I call Blabber. Him, by the way. that's not an accident. I just avoid it now. I mean, he's just, since he remarked that there was no racism in football, I just, the guy's so full of mush, oatmeal brains. I've had enough of him. I can't even listen to him anymore. He's such a fool.
Why is this always what we get? Why does it always come down to this nonsense? It becomes politics. Everything seems to become politics. It's very disheartening to me sometimes.
Yeah. Well, that's FIFA for you, right? Politics right. And money.
Money seems to be everything, my friend. Unfortunately, this is our world, and I'm sure it's always been the world. I shouldn't be so naive to think that this is a new thing. But anyway, listen, we want to thank you very much for everything. Let us know, everybody who's listening all around in this great, great big wattage that we have with this station. Can you tell us where people can find you? Because I know they're waiting pen in hand or iPod in hand or something in hand. I think coming.
Well, I hope so. Get your pens ready. No, they can find us on... BigSoccer.com. We're on the front page, and you can also find the Straight Red Card at simply thestraightredcard.com. And either way, you'll run into Brett and I, and the dog has his shows on there as well.
Yeah, give him all my best. Maybe we'll have Brett on one. Maybe I'll have Brett on one time with you. That would be kind of fun. But anyway, thank you thanks for giving up some of your Saturday morning and breaking in our new station. And we appreciate it. And we will definitely talk to you down the line, especially closer to when the season starts, my friend.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. And best of luck to the new show. I'll be happy to come on again.
Well, thank you, sir. And thank you. See you there. Bye-bye, Derek. Okay, so that was Derek Ritchie. Always, always very, very good. We talked to him. We talked to his dog. It's funny. They have very similar thoughts about a lot of things, surprisingly. But it works out. It works out well, and he's always like my go-to man, our go-to man, when it comes to like U.S. soccer.
Definitely U.S. national.
Isn't that great how some people like kind of focus? Because I don't think Derek, I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but I don't think Derek really cares all that much about Arsenal and Man U and things like that. And it's interesting, because I care so much about that. So it's very interesting.
Honestly, that's my type of guy as well. Eric, you know me.
Right.
My biggest thing is the U.S. national team, even more than the local union. I just feel like it's playing for your country. I think that's the most important thing. And honestly, in a lot of ways, because of how it goes on a four-year cycle, it's almost more intriguing than what you see year to year in the MLS or even in the two-year window you talk about over in Europe with the regular season and the Champions League, which spans the next season, making that a two-year type of trek. But U.S. national team stuff with Jurgen Klinsmann. It's a year of transition. It's an era of change with the U.S. national team. And I'm really excited for what Jurgen Klinsmann can do. And Derek Ritchie always brings some great perspective to that. So it's great to have him on.
He certainly does. Now, Bob, I kind of cut you out before, but I don't know if you actually ever gave us your thoughts. We started talking about before Derek came on about the new scheduling, because I know you follow that kind of stuff.
About it a little bit. Yeah, I like it because, and I talked about it earlier, the baseball type of element. Eric, you're a Phillies fan. Would you rather see the Phillies play the Mets 18 times or have them play 12 times and then send the Phillies out to the West Coast to play the Padres for a second time on the road? I think for a lot of reasons, you'd rather see them play the New York Mets 18 times. One, the rivalry. Two, proximity. More Phillies fans can go to those games. And three, if you send them out to the West Coast and send them on two West Coast stints instead of one, then there's what, 8 more to 10 more to 12 more West Coast games that start at 10 o'clock that you're not going to be able to stay up and watch. It's a little bit different than soccer. They don't all start at 10 o'clock over there, but being out, going out west a second time, or, you know, playing every team in the West once would be a little bit more difficult for, I think, the fans to stay involved throughout an entire season. And isn't that the most important thing in the MLS right now, building and retaining that fan base? I think the best way to do that right now is to keep the unbalanced scheduling, and as they change, I think it's a great change to play teams like the Red Bulls, to play DC United 2 and 3 times.
I hear you, and I do agree. I mean, you forgot number 4. You listed reasons. How about 4? Because the Mets suck. Could that be like my choice? That's what I would pick for the 18 times. I'd pick the Mets for that reason, okay? But, you know, that could change. For many years, it was the other way around. And
yes,
I sat at the vet many years and had New York fans, like, really giving me the business as the Mets were just, you know, clobbering the Phillies, you know, 9 out of 10 times or 8 out of 10 times. But anyway.
Two World Series titles each.
That's
in 50 less years of being a franchise for the Mets. But, you know, we don't need to get into this argument.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to go there. Anybody's going to, you know, and the Eagles are still waiting for their first championship in my lifetime,
right,
okay? Okay, no, I'm not old enough to remember 1960, okay? But it's not that far. It's not that far before I was born now. So, yeah. Yeah, but Andy Reid's back for another year, so they just proved that, you know, they actually proved that they are the definition of insanity, I think, the Eagles, right? I just got to ask you. What do you think of that? I'm flabbergasted. 13 minutes and 7 seconds of Jeff Lurie's the state of the team, special state of the team, second time for the year, which is big. 13 minutes, it sounded like he might get rid of Reed, and then all of a sudden, oh, by the way, I'm going to have Andy Reid back, even though he did XXX for the last 13 minutes that I described. What do you think of that? Kind of taunted the fans a little bit, a little tweak there.
Well, absolutely, yeah. He talked about how it was the worst season since he's become a head coach. He even said, or since he was the owner of the team, and since Andy was the head coach, it was the worst season for Lurie. And he also said that the last 4 games of the season, even though they won, were a red herring. Because, yes, they won these games, but they won them against backup quarterbacks and teams that had already given up, teams that were out of the race. And so that was fool's gold is actually the term he used. And then he talked about how he was going to talk about short-term, long-term success, and the third element was intangibles. And as soon as he says that, I'm thinking, wow, he might actually let him go. He's going to talk about how he has no intangibles whatsoever.
Well, he knows about
it. But all he said was, you know what, Andy's not arrogant. He's a guy that is trying to take everything on himself. He says he's the least arrogant man he's ever met.
I find that a little hard to believe.
Yeah,
as a member of the media, maybe that's why. I don't know. But, you know, forgetting that, the one thing about Jeff Lurie, he knows about those two things. Fools, Andy Reid, Joe Banner, whatever that guy's name that he brought in, that does nothing about football. You know, who's the Roseman. Roseman?
Howie Roseman.
Yeah, yeah, and he knows about gold because he's so rich. So fool's gold, he knows a little something about. I put the chances of the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, which I think it's probably Super Bowl or bust. Who never knows with that organization? But I put their chance about 3%, which is like the odds of 32 teams, one team winning the championship. They're 8-8. I don't see anything that they have that's going to make them, you know, run through a 14-2 season next year. You know, I mean, it's a long way away, but I think that. I think they're going to be having to say, hopefully this is going to grease the skids for Reed to be gone, and I'll be able to become an Eagles fan again after 7 years. So, I mean, really, I mean, you know me. I mean, I love the Eagles. You didn't know me when I did. And I've been a Saints fan, and it only took them one because I love the city and because they were terrible. Right before they started, it was my luck, I guess, was good luck. They started getting good because they got Drew Brees because San Diego was dumb enough to put them on the scrap heap, okay? And that changed the whole franchise.
That's a whole mess over there. They fire Marty Schottenheimer at 14-2, but going 8-8 for 3 years in a row is just fine, and they're not going to fire North Turner or A.J. Smith.
Dude, you know what? I think that the problem is that, you know, we certainly get involved with sports talk, and we put ourselves in the positions of, like, Jeff Lurie. I mean, you listen to WIP, for example. They'll talk about how, you know, Jeffrey Lurie, these 4 games are going to decide Andy Reid's job. Security. Where did they get that from? That was complete conjecture and speculation on their part. Never was any memo, announcement, anybody in the organization ever said Andy Reid's playing for his job. Now, that's what Reid kind of spun it as. He used winning the 4 games to spin it as, like, okay, look how good we got when we put it all together. If Andy only had time with the training, if he only had the right amount of train with everything. Well, you know what? There's teams like San Francisco that had a brand new coach. that were able to deal with the fact that they had a short offseason. Okay?
Right.
Alex Smith turned into a good quarterback. You know, come on. You know, it's like you keep, it's the definition of insanity. It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's amazing. You are. I mean, you think there's no way he should be back.
No, I don't think so. I think he's, you know, not a great head coach, and that's a long story for another day. But, Eric, let's talk some football.
Okay, well, let's, we are
football, talking
football.
The beautiful
football,
game. Let's without talk the football, helmet. Football.
Okay, well, let's talk about football. Just to touch on that. We'll look at this football. Do you believe a team, maybe Tottenham, Philadelphia Union, Philadelphia Eagles, are a public trust? I understand they're individually owned by very wealthy people, and they're a money-making venture, okay? But do you think that an owner has a responsibility to the fans to take care of that public trust?
You don't like the answer, but no.
I want to hear it. No, I want to hear what you think.
No, it doesn't. Let's just say it's your money, Eric. Let's say you're a multi-billionaire and you're going to buy this franchise. First of all, if you have that much money, you probably have somewhat of an ego anyways. So do you want a bunch of fans that, and it's not the right attitude, but they're probably thinking fans that are making how much less than me, every single one of them, why are they going to tell me what to do with my organization, with my money? It's not a public company. You don't can't buy stock in a... And let's just say Tottenham Hotspur. So why? It's not a public company.
I hear your point, but don't you think that there are better money-making ways of making money for rich individuals and investments than professional sports?
Yes.
Just in general. I understand football exploded in the last 20 years, and that was a great investment, okay? And everybody made, even whoever bought Jacksonville probably made a lot of money, okay? Because there's a lot of money to be had. But don't, I'm not telling you
that
they should
mean,
listen.
Though?
I'm not saying they should listen, Bob. I understand what you're saying. Yeah, it's my money. It's my millions, billion-dollar
right.
franchise, whatever. But don't you think that they have to look at who made them that money? Who's buying the jerseys that were 50 to 75% off, by the way, Eagles jerseys at Modell's Christmas time? That's new. That's different. They're losing money. They're making less than they would have before.
That's not the Eagles, though. That's Modell's.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about Eagles jerseys that are on the rack.
I understand.
Used to be hot as hot, hot. Now
I understand,
it's
but I'm just willing to make a guess. If you go to eagles.com, I bet you those jerseys are still pretty high priced.
That's probably true.
I think that's coming from Modell's, to be honest.
Okay, but the point, my point is that there is a disconnect with the fan base. Would
yes.
you agree with
and
that?
And the only way okay. for the fans to influence anything and do so correctly, because the owners can do with whatever they want with their money. So there's a fan's way to make the owner do what the fans want him to do, and that's to stop buying jerseys, that's to stop going to games, and to stop giving money to the team, supporting it. Because you can't tell the owner what to do. You can't say, we are the fans, we give the money, so we want you to do this. It's not like being a stockholder. Right. But you can withhold your funds, and if enough people do that, that makes enough of a financial impact. That's how you indirectly control what the owner does with his organization.
So Jeffrey Lurie's decision-making, if I follow your reasoning, his decision-making should be based on the bottom line and not really what Joe Fan from Kensington thinks.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's, you know,
unfortunately,
and you know there's different opinions.
There's
that,
different opinions. There's different owners that handle franchises different ways. Sometimes the best franchises don't always make all the money. They don't make the most money.
Real quickly, we have a few minutes left on our initial broadcast here from WNG. It's a beautiful facility, by the way. Really digging it. You know, really liking it. I want to thank you very much. Allie is our engineer. This is literally the first time we are here. I was here to talk to the owner, and here I am, and I'm doing a show, and it's beautiful. All the walls are covered with sports memorabilia, so you know Bob and I are loving that, okay? And by the way, there are some soccer pictures that we did find, or at least one, Dad. So I know you're listening somewhere. There is one. Real fast, Barclays Premier League. More so the FA Cup. The big game, I think, maybe today or tomorrow. I'm sorry, I can't check on my computer here. But Manchester City is hosting Manchester in what they call the third round proper of the FA Cup, which is the English Cup Championship. It's pretty interesting. It seems like all of a sudden, and you and I both thought Manchester City was in the driver's seat. All of a sudden, let me tell you, both those Manchester cities are leaking a little bit of oil at this time. What do you think? Big game, even though it's not a Premier League game. This is a huge rivalry game.
It is a huge rivalry game, and it honestly is going to tell you a lot about the second half of the season. No one's going to pull up lightly on this game. Everybody's going to send their guys. They're going to play their best game, and Manchester United is not going to want to have 6-1 happen again. And that was earlier this year when Man City just destroyed them at Old Trafford. They're not going to let that happen again. I am still on the Man City. I don't want to call it a bandwagon, but I'm on the Man City trail. I think they're a very, very good team. Mm-hmm. And even though they've been dropping games, I think they're going to be able to win some big games and at least challenge Man U. There has been thoughts that Man U is just primed to run away with this thing at this point. And, you know, that may not be that prevalent a thought. But the fact that they're winning all these games, there's a lot of people saying, oh, well, here we go again. Sir Alex is ready to go. He's got his guys kicking at the right time. And to an extent, that's true. But I don't think that Man U is going to run away with this by any stretch.
Now, wait a minute. The biggest, probably the biggest upset in soccer, at least this year, was Man U,
right.
2 weeks, Christmas week, Blackburn. At Old Trafford, losing to the bottom table Blackburn
That's
team,
right.
who probably will be relegated, although that 3 points was big.
You know what?
Yeah,
you're right.
No, but I'm saying they lost at Old Trafford,
yeah.
and they were beat. They were down 2-0. They came back, and Blackburn beat them. And De Gea, the goaltender, was shaky. Very shaky to be the number one with Man U. Okay, and then they lost again. They lost this week. Who did they lose to this week, Bob? They lost a second time.
Sunderland.
Yeah, right. They lost to Sunderland.
Sunderland's playing some good soccer.
Yeah, they changed
their
manager. They changed their manager.
And they're all the way up to about 10th in the table right now.
Right.
But the point is,
Man U back-to-back games, I think for the first time in about 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, losing back-to-back
games. I think I see where you're going with this, Eric.
No,
so,
I'm really not. No,
Man
I'm
City,
no, no
Man,
I'm not. Tottenham, no. Look, that's the dare to dream, the dare to do, as they're saying. You know, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, you know what? I'm not that impressed with Chelsea. Arsenal's been dropping points. Liverpool's not what they used to be. So, I don't think it's over. I don't think it's over.
It's open,
I don't think it's
sure.
Man U. Now, I guess I don't think it's Man U and Man City. I think that who else is left with Tottenham, really? I mean, maybe Arsenal? Maybe Chelsea? I don't know. I don't like it. They're on the verge of losing their manager. Villas Boas is on very shaky ground because Roman Abramovich is not going to let you lose points and drop points. Okay, you know this guy makes coaching changes almost every year, so you know that wouldn't be a big surprise.
Right. Well, I think those are the top three, and I think Man City, Man U, will continue to be at the top with Tottenham challenging as well. I think they've been good. And I think they will continue to be up there for sure. But, Eric, a couple weeks ago, we talked about our top four in the English Premier League, and I went with Man City at number one, Man U at number two, your Tottenham Hotspur at number three, and then Chelsea at number four. And, I mean, it looks good at this point. But, again, Arsenal, you said, charging. I don't like Liverpool either. I know our buddy Steve would scoff at that remark. But
right.
Haven't been as impressed with Liverpool, especially as in years past. And Eric, as an Everton fan, you know, you're allowed to call bias, but I just have not been impressed with Liverpool.
And for our buddy Steve, I just wanted to give our condolences from the show. His mother passed away yesterday. I found out he's a very regular caller and co-host on our internet show. So our feelings and prayers go out to his family.
Absolutely, I second that. Stay strong, Steve.
Yep,
and
absolutely,
we love you over here. So.
And he was like, he cares enough about the show to message me this morning and tell me that, you know. So that, you know, he's a good guy, and you know, hopefully things will get better. You know. But he'll get through that, you know. But anyway, we're just about done here. I want to thank you all. Wonderful, Allie. One, thank you so much for helping us out. It's making us feel comfortable in our first time. Bob, always a pleasure. Sorry to lose you back to Penn State, but if I have to lose you, losing you back to alma mater is okay.
That's
I don't mind giving you back to them. Okay,
that's right. New head coach. We're ready to go back up there.
Penn
State.
Well, you know what? I'm proud of you. I'm proud of all that you're doing. I will echo what you said that the show's moving in the right direction for sure.
It is.
You know, I really, really enjoy it. I want to once again thank Derek Ritchie for being on. Check out his shirts; they're really cool.
And check out our website as well, vuvuzelasoccer.wordpress.com. That's something I put together.
Yes, you did, and you absolutely did. And you can get almost all of our shows. Hopefully, we'll be able to get this show somehow. I hear that that's with this new studio. I hear I'm gonna get my stuff zipped right over to me. So how technologically. How did Tottenham Jack get on it? I don't know how that happened. My God, please. Somebody sabotaging this dude. Allie, did you know anything about that? Anyway, we're going to say goodbye right now. Thank you once again. Bob, thank you. Dad, thank you for all your help. Keep me company coming here. And we will see you next week, same time, same station. Vuvuzela, the World Soccer Show.